world is room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. And all will be lost. Do not despair, for hate of men will pass, and dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people.
Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world, to fulfill that promise. Let us all unite.
Well, welcome back, folks, here in the Corporation Nation. We're talking to Scott McCoy today. Paxion Publishing.com and InnerCircle.us. Scott, let's get back to this. You said that the three-day period in the Christ story, resurrection story, is apropos and has to do with the notion of the returning one, the planet X. Seems like all the gods of the zodiac are also referred to as the returning one as they go through their procession of the equinox. So, how does this apply to the Christ story?
Yeah, are you hearing me? Yes, I can hear you much better. Thank you. And okay, I put your headset back on, so I can. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't have anything to do with our zodiac. This has to do specifically with the planet that is referred to in Isaiah as the sun. It's actually a binary star. And when we're told in 2 Peter that a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day, and we know that the sun was in the tomb for more than 3 days. And after 3 days, in the allegory of his time in the tomb, the stone was rolled away, and he arose, he ascended. Excuse me. And this is why Isaiah says, the book of Isaiah says, the sun, S-U-N, will rise with healing in his wings. So Isaiah is personifying the sun. And that's okay for, you know, Christians can accept that and say, okay, well, that's the way the Bible was written. But when I tell them that Jesus was a personification, they get upset. But that is what it is talking about. This is a sun. It's a binary star. Most solar systems we've discovered have two suns. They've yet to announce on any wide scale that we do, but they know that we do. They discovered it back in 1983. It was in 5 major newspapers, and then it was squashed the very next day. Right. They've seen many perturbations within the planets, the moving, the shaking of the planets, and they know that there's something huge out there. And this is the sun. Whether you say S-O-N or S-U-N, it's going to rise with healing in its wings. And this is the mechanism of redemption as well as repentance, as well as salvation. This is what it's all about, because this is the thing which will take back what was stolen. And you might say, well, what was stolen? Well, it has to do with everything we've been talking about to this point with the DNA, because the Bible says that Lucifer walked among the stones of fire and made each one her covering. And these stones of fire are simply metaphors for the same fiery stones I've been talking about with which our DNA has been constructed. But the phrase walk among is another mistranslation. It literally means to rob or steal. So this is what was stolen and must be returned. And you might say, well, how can this star have anything to do with the return of the genetic pieces that were stolen? Well, back just about 2, maybe 3 years ago, there was a Russian astronomer who discovered a star that was cloaked entirely in a cloud And this cloud was almost entirely made up of what's called glycolaldehyde. And glycolaldehyde, believe it or not, is the primary building block of RNA. And what I believe to be true is that I believe this star, call it Nibiru, the Red Kachina, the Great Destroyer, Kali, whatever you want to call it, the sun, is going to extract that from us. Think of water molecules on a table beside each other. They come together because they're the same. And this is what I believe is going to happen. This is why it's also called wormwood in the Bible. Because if you recall yesterday, I spoke about the molecule that was attached to us that was a parasitic type molecule needing nucleic acid as its host. And this is why it's called wormwood, because wormwood is an herb. It's a very powerful anti-parasitic herb, one of the most powerful. You can get white wormwood, you can get black wormwood, but it destroys parasites. And this is what's going to happen when this star or sun comes back around after 3 days. And that's the point in time when the stone is rolled away. Just like it says in Revelation that an angel took up a great millstone and cast it off. It's the same thing as the stone being rolled away from the grave, which enabled the sun, meaning Esau or Jesus, to come out of the grave after 3 days. But you see, this is why the power of the allegory and the parable far surpass the exoteric doctrinal rhetoric that is so prolific within Christianity and other religions.
But this is the majority of this coming from the Sumerian text?
The majority of this is coming from it comes from the Sumerian text, it comes from the Bible, it comes from the Hindu, it comes from a whole compilation of a body of knowledge which I've been able to mine out over 15 years.
Okay. Well, so we're talking about, I mean, I suppose that's why we have the representations of the six-sided star in, which, you know, of course has a lot deeper meanings in the history of the Seal of Solomon, etc. And the five-sided star is so prevalent in America, and of course prevalent all throughout the Muslim world with the moon and the star. So somehow there's a separation, from what I'm understanding, a separation of the RNA from the DNA, the thing that's binding the DNA, the invader, the parasitic notion of the RNA that controls the DNA, is a separation, a repentance, something is happening there. So how does this relate to the notion we were talking about of Molech, the molecule, and how does the DNA structure, what does that have to do with the, I guess you could call it being saved, separation, repentance, and all of that?
That is one and the same as being saved. That is one and the same as being redeemed, and that is one and the same as repentance. This is why repentance is spelled the way it is, because penta means five in the Greek. We are going back to, we are repenting. We are going back to the five. Repenta, repentance. When you remove the six, you go back to the five. That is the way that Esau taught. That's why he said the way to true life is narrow. There are only few who find it. And when you understand that this is going to strike fear in people's hearts because of the lies they've been told, and they will, like the Bible says, they will run to the mountains, they will go underground to the caves, and they will ask for the stones, the rocks to fall on them, and their hearts will fail them in fear because they don't understand it. They think that it is a frightening event that is brought on by the wrath of God to destroy us out of meanness or something by Satan, right? But that's not true. This is a mechanism that was put in place long, long ago by the wisdom of the true Creator, who knew that this whole rebellious act would take place in the material world.
And the true creator is it, you know, there's all kinds of people out there who talk about Maitreya and all of these different versions of creation and creator. When you say the true creator, what exactly do you define that as? Or can you?
Well, I don't. And there's no reason to. The reason I say that is because the whole idea of defining and nomenclature, putting a name to something, and classification, categorization, that all has to do with scientific thought. Science is predicated entirely on empirical evidence. Show me. Give me evidence. Let me touch it, feel it, smell it, taste it, or it doesn't exist. This is why Jesus said that the wicked generation would look for a sign, but would receive none. We always want to put a name on the Creator, but the Creator doesn't look upon sin. The Bible tells us that the Creator doesn't look upon sin, and the whole world is sin. And I defined that for everyone yesterday. And so he's outside of the scientific arena with right. which this whole construct has been made, formulated. These are the same ones that were constantly at odds with Esau. They were called the Pharisees. And they were called Pharisee because the Pharisee means the interpreters. But it doesn't mean, as pastors say, that they were the ones who had the charge of interpreting the law because they were so pious or holy. It's a combination of two words, inter and preter. Inter means to vary. Preter is the prefix of preterist or preterism, which is the philosophy that that something happened a long time ago. What this is telling us is that these Pharisees were these preterists, the ones who buried something a long time ago. And that thing which they buried is the same thing Jesus called hypocrisy, which means under Christ. They buried the phosphate. They buried Molech into the DNA, or into the RNA to create DNA. That's who they were. And that's why they wanted a sign, and they got none. And that's why today we all want to know, what's the Father's name? What's going on? It comes by faith. And you have to know the truth in order to establish your faith. But most people don't want that. They just want to be able to go on with their life and keep, you know, doing what they want to do. Getting more in debt, having children, doing what pleases them, so forth.
Let's apply this to the, you know, hundreds or thousands of generations that have died. Because this, of course, is generational or current presence centric. In other words, all prophecy is always, of course, generated in the time of the person. You know what I'm saying? So, how does this free this coming of the planet or whatever we're calling it? How does this actually free or save or repent the repenta, create from 6 to 5? How does that happen if it's a destroyer and it's going to destroy everything anyway? That's the part that I'm sort of missing the angle of. And what about everybody that has died before this event in history? That's the part I'm sort of confused about.
All right, how are they saved? Well, no reason for confusion. Unless we don't understand reincarnation. Nibiru, Planet X, the Great Destroyer, Kali, the Red Dragon, the Red Kachina, is not the only thing that has been spoken of in almost every culture that went before us, but is not spoken of within ours, that is not spoken of within our religion. Another thing that is not spoken of in our culture and in the Christian religion, that is spoken of by almost every major culture that's gone before us, is reincarnation. Reincarnation is, as a fact, a reality. It's a truism. And this is how we can answer the question about, you know, what about those who have gone before us? There are only so many, pardon me, souls. These are called the third of the stars in Revelation 12 that were taken by the woman who rebelled and was prevailing to be delivered. Create procreation so she could deliver. And these are held in a stasis period, form of stasis. When they're not embodied, they're not in a temple or a body, a home of the flesh. And they've come and they've gone many, many times. And in the Father's wisdom, he knows which souls have been given opportunity to repent and to relent and to humble themselves, and which ones have not.
Well, okay. Now, a lot of people are going to have an issue with this, of course, because it's not taught in the doctrines of Christianity, and if you're not religious at all, you're probably also going to have an issue with this. But I just pulled up, just for kicks, the word incarnation, again in Webster's 1828, which always refers to the biblical aspect, and says incarnation. And if you think of it this way, it actually is not so hard to apply to the biblical notions here. It says the act of clothing with flesh, the act of assuming flesh, or of taking a human body and the nature of man as the incarnation of the Son of God. In surgery, the process of healing wounds and filling the part with new flesh. So if we add the word reincarnation to that, we, as Patrick Jordan has suggested, the cell memory has a lot to do, the notion of cloning, et cetera, has a lot to do with the same sort of notion of reincarnation. So really, it's the act of filling the vessel with a soul is what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And let me give you an example of where it is we can see it in the Bible. First of all, the disciples, or Jesus was speaking with the disciples in this story, okay? And he says, who do men say that I am? And the disciples answered him and said, some say that you are John the Baptist, who at that point was dead. And some say that you are Elijah, who at that point was long dead. And he didn't rebuke them. He didn't say, well, you know that's ridiculous to think that I'm somebody else, right? Because he knew that reincarnation was real. He said, but who do you say that I am? And they said, the Christ. Another example of this is the idea that Jesus was the first one that was called Emmanuel, that was born of a virgin, right? In the Bible. That's not even true. Isaiah had a son who was born of a virgin, who they called Emmanuel. And his name, most Christians have never even heard this, but his name, as told to us in the book of Isaiah, was Maher Shalal Hashbaz. That's a mouthful. But so we have a Messiah figure, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. That's what Emmanuel means. It means God with us. And then in the Old Testament, who was born of a virgin, right? And then we have Jesus, called Emmanuel, who was born of a virgin, in the New Testament. You can easily say this is a reincarnation of the Son of God, or or Emmanuel. And so, just because it's not written down in black and white, or in a textbook in a seminary, or in a doctrinal treatise, does not mean that it's not real. Quite the opposite, actually, in my lengthy experience in this, in studying these things. We need to look between the lines, behind the text, and at what is not said. This is why it's important to have ears to hear and eyes to see these things. But reincarnation is definitely a real part of our existence. This is how we can explain deja vu and other kinds of things. When, you know, there's all kinds of experiences that we can look to where children are telling these crazy stories about these things that happened to them in another lifetime that are literally and somebody else's experience. And this has been documented. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard about these kinds of things. And it's becoming more prolific as we get closer to the end. But this is real. This is the real deal. So the Father, in his wisdom, always gives sufficient time for people to humble themselves, to relent, and to repent, to, as it was said of the prodigal son, to come to their senses. The prodigal son who rebelled and lived with the swine and squandered his inheritance, had to come to his senses in order to repent, which is a military term, which means to turn around, do a 180, to go the opposite way. But he had to come to his senses. He had to realize what he had done and the damage he had caused, and had to humble himself and go back home, where the Father was waiting for him, as he always had been.
And so the tenet here is that the so-called flood or the destruction of the earth or any of these actions are actually, as you said, a strange notion, but it's a relief. It's a mercy, as you said. So to free people from this particular plane of existence, to repent, as you say, you're saying that the destruction itself is actually, in terms of how we are speaking today, a good thing, is what you're saying.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we see this, the idea that this existence is not right, is not proper, is not righteous, lots of different places. Our soul is being taxed. You know, another word in the Sumerian language, which describes this molecule, this RNA, is har, H-A-R, which means a spiral of a precious substance. But it also means soul. And so knowing that the parasites attached to the har, soul, were being taxed, this is why Jesus said, okay, I'm going back to this, he said, seek the old, and he's referring to the Old Testament, seek the old paths wherein is the good way, wherein you will find rest for your soul. Why would your soul need to find rest? Because it's being taxed, which is why that logogram, which refers to that same molecule in the Sumerian text, means to pay a debt. Okay? And we see this in the New Testament too, where it says that for me to live is Christ, okay? Meaning Christ is anointed. I have the RNA, but to die, it says, is gain, right? And Jesus says we were dead in our trespasses and sin, but when we leave the death, when we leave the hell, when we leave the helix, when we leave the Hillel, we come back to life. We are currently dead in our trespasses and sin. And this is why the Sumerian text called this solar system, this area, forbidden zone. We weren't supposed to enter into the material world, is what they were saying. And this was done through the rebellion. But this planet, or wormwood, if you will, is the mechanism by which the millstone, which is another metaphor for this stone of the phosphate, to be rolled away, to be taken off. And it's like Elijah. I started to say before we went to commercial last time that the story of Elijah is another good example of this. When he was taken up in the wheel within a wheel, and I wrote a book about this too, or more accurately called the sphere within a sphere, or sfera a sfera, okay, in Italian. He left his mantle with Elisha. In other words, he was dismantled. And the powers that be know, absolutely know, this is going to happen, because they hired a man by the name of Arnoldo Pomodoro, to an Italian artist, to create 11, it's either 11 or 12, of these spheres within spheres. These are the same thing that the Bible refers to as the abomination of desolation, which I write about also. And it says, when you see the abomination of desolation sitting in the standing in the holy place, know that the time of the end is near. But the holy place, the phrase holy place, doesn't mean something that's righteous or morally sound. It means something that is called holy but is actually not. It's actually despicable. And that's why we see one of these golden spheres within a sphere sitting in front of the Vatican and about 11 other places around the world, including in front of the United Nations building. These are gold spheres that are just exactly like the prophecy says, are standing in the holy place. The word standing just means literally in the Greek to be set up where people can see it. Christians are looking for a man. It's talking about this actual edifice that was built.
Right, and then, of course, the anthropomorphites were a heretic sect, and you had other types of sects that were doing all these things, and that seemed to become the mainstream, is the whole concept of anthropomorphic or personized, you know, personification seemed to become the mainstream, even though it's listed as a sect, a heretic sect. It's kind of confusing in that way, but there's one notion about quote-unquote reincarnation, sort of a new concept for me. It's not one that I've looked at before, but there is the ultimate you know, notion that people would bring up, just to play devil's advocate, if you will. How does reincarnation then apply to the notion that the population has been ever increasing? Where do the new souls, I guess, where are they coming from?
There are new ones. I think that there are bodies which are inhabited entirely by demons. I mean that in the most literal sense. I've known wicked people that have absolutely no good in them. You could look at them and I could literally see a demonic force. And this is why in Revelation we're told that Babylon, which is simply a metaphor for the earth itself, has become the habitation of devils, the dwelling place of demons, and the cage of dirty birds. And the idea of dirty birds is the reference to the fallen angels. And so this is why also the Bible says, you will build. This is a warning given to the sons of God that I talked about in 2 Kings chapter 6, who wanted to take a beam, pardon me, and build their own way. It says, you will build, but others will inhabit. And Christians think that this has to do with, like, Babylon overtaking Israel and when they sacked Israel, or Rome, when they sacked Israel in 70 AD and then living in the houses that they took as the spoils of war. It doesn't. It has to do with the temple of the body that was unlawfully built by the fallen angels. They are being inhabited by demonic forces. And it's horrible to see. I've seen this even in little children who say uncanny things that show that they are well beyond their years, and whatever it is that's inhabiting them is not of a childlike nature. And there's a lot of old souls that are coming into these children, these young bodies that are inhabiting.
Well, there's a notion there that I kind of want to ask you a question about, because we've been considering this a lot, is that they're actually injecting these things into the body through the vaccination process, injecting different DNA and, different archonic archetypes, and literally injecting themselves into us. But we'll be back, folks. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically, and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER20. 2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Now there's an amazing new natural antibiotic every person must have.
It's Cells Alive Silver Solution, and it destroys over 650 hard-to-kill viruses, fungus, bacteria, and much more. Cells Alive Silver Solution has no expiration date, is great for emergency kits and storage shelters, and comes in 8 or 16-ounce bottles. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Hempusa.org, 100% chemical-free superfoods and unique health products.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Nation. We're talking to Scott McQuaid today. You can go to innercircle.us or paxionpublishing.com to find his works. Lots of books up there in case you're wondering where all this sources and everything are coming from. And on that note, I'd like to ask you a few questions just coming in from the audience instead of taking calls. Plenty of questions. But I wanted to first just say, you know, we've sort of been As we're discovering the nature of the vaccination process, we've been finding just the worst, you know, fears and the worst possibilities is that they're injecting things into us, and they're altering our you know, genome, epigenomic structure, DNA, which is the proteins that the DNA are, you know, entwined about, and so the notion of the injection of archons, the injection of extremophiles, prions, all these different disease states or parasitic things sort of comes to mind. And then, of course, that brings with it a certain cellular memory that is then passed on to the host. You know, have you gone into this type of study at all?
Well, I'm not sure which part you're referring to. I mean, we are the host.
You're saying that, right, so children are coming up with these outrageous sort of notions and memories that don't belong there. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is the whole carnation reincarnation aspect seems to me like they're altering our very personality and structure and memory and everything else just through these injections of foreign DNA, etc.
Yeah, well, they are. The whole idea of genetics, right, from Eden until now, is predicated on the theory of mixing. That's what Babylon means. It means to mix, and it means confusion. And back in the Sumerian, it means to pay a debt. And so mixing, think of a cauldron. You know, think of the United States, right, the melting pot. It's all about mixing in order to mine God, to try to become God, to try to find the solution to becoming God. And that's what they're doing with all of these injections to the pharmaceuticals, the vaccines, and everything, the pesticides, herbicides. They're modifying the DNA they have since, you know, they created us, to try to create the optimal house. For instance, our blood has an atom of iron at its core. Call us Iron Man if you want to, like the character. And this is one of the main reasons why they continue to spray chemtrails full of chromium and aluminum and barium and all these other metals. They are, in their own way, insidiously, kind of in a... what I want to say, a homeopathic way, I think is the word I'm looking for, trying to little by little harden us, like the carbon steel that I was talking about earlier, because that's what we're made of. And that's what this is all about, trying to create a better, more appropriate, more resilient, tougher human. And that's what it's all about.
It's essentially transhumanism. Is it designed to sort of... survive, if you will, yes. Sort of a new form of ARC?
Yes, it is. It definitely is, yeah. Now, they've got their underground shelters, of course. This is what the Bible means when it says, in the end, people will be going to and fro in the earth. It doesn't say on the earth, it says in the earth. But for the leftovers, who they know won't be able to go into those underground bunkers, they're trying to create a method to preserve some of them, enough of them, not all, but enough of them to enable humanity to go on. They don't understand that the Bible says that the earth will be splintered, will be shattered, it will be decimated, it will be utterly destroyed, never to rise again. They think they're going to escape it this time, but they won't. So,
and that's a reference to the actual planetary body, or is that a reference to the notion of, I mean, again, you know, you look at everything in the real and in the figurative. Is that could that be taken as a parable as well, that society itself, governments, will be shattered?
No, it doesn't mean that. If you look at the verses that those things come from in Hosea and Obadiah and Matthew and 2 Peter and different places, Revelation, it literally means a physical breaking up, a physical decimation, utter decimation of the earth itself. It doesn't mean, pastors will tell you that it means the end of the age. That's sheer nonsense when you look at it and up against the whole body of evidence. It does not mean the end of an age or an era. It means the end of the world. But anybody who's experienced life, you know, the taxing of your soul, the taxing of your emotions, the taxing of your money, the inundation with daily cares and all these kinds of things. Especially if you're an old soul, if you've been around for a long time and you've been through this before and you carry with you the memories, the subconscious memories of things like this before, you know that when the Bible tells you that vanity, vanity, all is vanity, there is nothing new under the sun, it means just that. It's, we're in a cycle. And this cycle must be broken. Everything's spinning. Everything's spinning. Our chakras in our body are spinning. Our cells are spinning. The world is spinning. Our solar system is spinning. The solar system is spinning around the galaxy. Everything is spinning because the twisters, Elohim, are the ones that did this. It's got to stop. And it's going to stop. And it's just what the Bible says. Let me put it this way. The evidence that the earth is going to be destroyed utterly and completely decimated by this incoming planet is much more abundant than any evidence to support the idea that it's simply an end of an age. Much more abundant. It's just been hidden. Powers to be have taken great measures to hide it from people so they don't know.
Well, that implies a certain agency with the powers that be, very X-Files, if you think about it, that they're working, again, against the whole notion that it's of course, it's a bizarre concept if you've never heard it, and so I don't blame people for lashing out against it, but we're doing this so that you can do your own research, folks, instead of just ad hominem attacking and all of that good stuff, poisoning the well, etc. Question, do you read and write Sumerian, and if not, whose translations do you find credible?
I'm sorry, you cut out there. Whose translations do I find credible?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you said?
Yes.
As I said before, I don't read other people's writings. I think it's not a good idea to do that because our minds are like computers, and what goes in, no matter how much we try to delete it, some remnant stays there. So I do my own research. I do my own etymological research into the actual language, using lexicons, concordances, other things that are out there. And so, and again, as I said before in the first interview we did, I had to develop a method of exegesis that did not exist before I developed it, taking the Hebrew, the Aramaic, the Greek, and other languages back to logograms of the Sumerian. So people ask me all the time, what do you think about Sitchin's writings or his translations? I don't know. I've never read his stuff.
Right, but someone had to figure out what the Sumerian actually meant, each character, each logogram. So where's that coming from, right. I guess, is the question.
Well, there's a body of study helps that are available to people out there. Some of them are kind of hard to find. You can go online and look up some of them. One is one guy that comes to mind is John Halloran, Halloran. He has a couple works, excuse me, that are pretty good. Another guy is Maximilian de Lafayette. He's got some things that are good, and there's various ones that you can use. There are also some electronic versions on the web. You know, one that you mentioned earlier, Clint, Blue Letter Bible, that's a great resource for people who want to do Bible study.
Yeah, but ultimately, I mean, again, back to the question, I agree, it's been wonderful. These are all written by someone else. So it's kind of, I mean, how do you...
Well, you're misunderstanding. I'm not using the interpretations of the verses, for instance, in Blue Letter Bible. And you can't do that. You can't. Because, for instance, if you look at some of the things on Blue Letter Bible, for instance, from Jacenius's lexicon, okay, which is part of Blue Letter Bible, so much of that is personal interpretation. They just
sure.
go on and they wax eloquent about what they think this means. They don't say, "I think this means." They say, "Well, this is obviously referring to blah blah blah." You can't look at things like that. You must look at the words themselves. This is what the Bible is referring to when it talks about the importance of rightly dividing the word of truth. It's not talking about reading verses in the Bible or reading passages in the Bible. It's talking about the word itself. because that's what this is all about. Our DNA was compiled with things that are represented as letters. The adenine, the guanine, the cytosine, the uracil, the thymine, which are the nucleotides that put the tie the DNA sides together. Those are letters, right? And it all has to do with the letters. And if you study these things in the way that I do, you will see a body of truth that becomes apparent. It's glaringly obvious that has been hidden beneath the language, beneath the allegories,
sure,
the words of the words themselves. Okay, for instance, I can look at let me give you an example. Now, we were talking about the Noah's Ark earlier, so let's talk about the Ark of the Covenant for a moment, if I can. The word for Ark in reference to the Ark of the Covenant, right, is Aron, A-R-O-W-N in the Hebrew, rendering phonetically A-R-U-N. Well, we're told that the law was written on tablets and was placed into the Ark, or the Arun, right? But this is a exoteric rendering of what actually happened. AR is a logogram in the Sumerian language, which is the same as the logogram I mentioned earlier, which is Har, which means a spiral of a precious substance, right? It also means soul. Un is also a logogram in the Sumerian, which means the people or the population. So Arun means the spiral of the population. The law that was on the tablets is a metaphor for the code. In the Sumerian stories, they talk about scribing on tablets. Okay, but the word tablet, you can find the real meaning of that if you look at the old versions of the Bible, which talk about what they were putting into the ark, which is rendered as tabak, which means a spiral. So we've got the idea of a code, think back to Hammurabi's code, being written on tabak, right, rendered tablet in the newer versions of the Bible, being put into the arun, which means the spiral of the people. What does this mean? What's going on with the story of the Ark of the Covenant? What's really happening was the code that was given to Moses by the one hidden behind the Tetragrammaton, which I've explained is Lucifer, was written on a spiral that was put into, or fused to, or spliced to, the spiral of the people. It is simply a retelling of genetic manipulation or modification of humanity, rendered in a fairy tale we call the Ark of the Covenant. And this is the same thing you find all throughout
right.
the Bible.
And then Lucifer is another question. Now, Lucifer is also referred to the morning star, the light, the Venus. So how does that play out here?
Well, Venus, again, is called Lucifer, and when you break it down into the Latin translation of the Greek word, phosphorus, right? And again, this is what we've come to believe in our society is the reference to Venus. And this is one of the dangers that people are up against when they want to personify everything and leave it at that. So we can't do that. We can't look at the fairy tales. We can't look at the exoteric surface versions of these things.
Well, like the Vatican naming its telescope Lucifer.
Yeah, exactly.
We wouldn't say that Lucifer is a telescope.
Exactly. Right.
Next, someone asked also the same question as far as the cuneiform, whatever the lexicons or concordances that you recommend. I agree. BlueLetterBible.com is a good resource. But as far as doing your own research, verifying the things you've said today, where do you suggest people go or get?
Well,
your
no
books.
One else does. Well, yeah, I break it down in detail in the books and in the DVDs, CDs, and at the Inner Circle, if they want to become an apprentice, I'll teach them how to do this. You're not going to, you know, try. Please try by all means, but... You know, I've had to develop this over many, many years. No one else, to my knowledge, has ever done this. So you're not going to be able to get online and watch a video and read an ebook or, you know, and do it. It's very complicated to try to do something like this on your own. If you saw my lexicons and the notes and the tattered pages, you would understand that this is a very serious thing to do, to the point where I get headaches sometimes because it's very taxing mentally. This is why I have apprentices. I take you by the hand. I explain it to you. I show you how to do it. I do it with you. And so that's the best way to do it if you really want to know. You can get an idea of how to do it by going through my books where I break a lot of these things down for you, many of these things. But to just go out and say, I'm going to pick up a book written by so-and-so, published by so-and-so, that will show me how to do this, it's an impossibility. And, you know, I say that, you know, humbly, but it's just the way it is. No one else is.
Yeah, well, I get it. I've certainly done my share of the same things. We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
I have a testimony of what a wonderful heart drops are. I ended up at Mayo Clinic, just had an awful time with angina and related problems to my heart problem. I remembered that I'd run out of heart drops and had reordered. And when I started taking them again, all these problems went away, and I just want to say how great these heart drops are. I'd recommend them to anyone.
I had my last heart attack in August, and I was having some form of angina pain pretty well every day. And then since I started taking it, I haven't had any angina pain at all. You know, I'm satisfied.
To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from takefromcaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at takefromcaesar.us.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices, and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Well, interesting 2 days, lots of things to ponder, and of course, people, again, do your due diligence. Don't just dismiss it, don't accept it, just go and verify, read, do whatever it is you need to do, get Scott's books, whatever it is that makes you feel better, you know. But please don't send me emails saying I've turned to the dark side or any of that kind of crap, okay? This is just information. It's for you. It's not to – just come on. Anyway, thanks, Scott. I appreciate it. It's been enlightening and interesting. And, you know, again, people are sort of like, well – I think what people want to know is, like, is Strong's a good resource or is it misleading? Is Thayer's and Jessenius and all of these stuff? What are a few of the best resources that you have found in your research for people who do want to do their own research, like yourself and myself, that are good resources?
Well, I thought I answered that already, but you know, let me just say this to kind of cut through this and help people understand. Unless you understand that the words, whether it's the Latin, the Greek, the Hebrew, the Aramaic, the Chaldean, whatever, unless you understand this fact, you will never understand the truth of the Bible, and that is this. Those words in those other languages were crafted by fusing together the logograms of the Sumerian language. You have to understand that. It's crucial. And none of those study helps, whether Thayer's lexicon or Blue Letter Bible or Jessenius' lexicon or Strong's Concordance or any of these. None of those take that into consideration because the people who wrote them didn't know it.
Okay. Well, see, there again, I mean, I find, you know, I have to point out the fact that there had to be someone who translated the Sumerian. So under no circumstances, unless you created your own translation, there has to be, in no way can it, you see what I'm saying? There's a bit of a paradox there, because it has to be someone else's translation that you're reading.
The point is, what's been translated from, the things that I use that are translated from the Sumerian tablets are the logogram. I'm not talking about the stories and the different things that, you know, the Bible stories were taken from. I'm talking about the pieces of words. You know, it could be a consonant and a vowel, a consonant. It could be a vowel and a consonant. These are logograms. These are, there's no way that you can mistranslate those from the cuneiform. These are phonemes. In other words, the styluses that were used to make the impressions in the clay are rendered as a sound. And there's only one way you can do the sound. You can translate those sounds. And those are what resulted in the logograms. And the languages we're talking about, the Greek, the Hebrew, the Aramaic, all these, were secretly fused together and crafted in secret, literally, by the fusing together of those logograms. And I teach my students, my apprentices, how to take the words in the Bible and go back and break them down into those logograms. And one logogram could have as many as 10 meanings or more.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, we are out of time, so why don't you rattle off your websites and maybe the top three books you would recommend for people to get who can't afford the other stuff?
Well, if you can afford about $20 a month, you'll be able to have a wealth of information that is not available anywhere else at innercircle.us. And for those of you who would prefer to buy the books or CDs or DVDs to have as your own personal copies, you can go to paxeonpublishing.com. PAXEON publishing.com. And we have some specials running right now, actually, that will save you a lot of money. So both of those websites.
All right, I appreciate it. We are unfortunately out of time. Thank you so much. And folks, we'll be back tomorrow with Daniel.
With financial